This is WSFI Spotlight, a conversation with Catholics living in the light.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of WSFI Spotlight. I'm your host, Bill Snyder, and on today's episode, I am blessed to be joined by Tim and Michelle Cassio. They reside in Menominee Falls. They have four kids, ranging from 10 months old to 7 years old, and another one on the way due March 15th, 2016. They are active at St. Stanislaus Parish in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and participate in the societies there, Holy Name Society for Men and Altar Rosary Society for Women. Michelle is a stay-at-home mom, and she homeschools. Recently, she learned that she has pancreatic cancer. At 21 weeks pregnant, she underwent major surgery on November 10, 2015, to remove her spleen and 50% of her pancreas. Michelle has been recovering slowly while their baby girl continues to thrive and grow in utero. The baby is due March 25, 2016. The doctors informed Tim and Michelle that this is a very aggressive form of cancer, which remains active. They are recommending intensive cancer treatments after the baby is born. So Michelle and Tim, thank you so much for joining me here on this episode of WSFI Spotlight and sharing your faith with us today.
Thank you, Bill. We're pleased to be here. This is my wife, Michelle, to my left.
So I want to ask you, Michelle, just tell me a little bit about hearing those words, you have pancreatic cancer.
Well, it's funny because we didn't expect that. It was actually after the surgery. It was a bubble. When I had first heard about this, it was an innocent little bubble. And then after the surgery, which was supposed to be like 2 or 3 hours, I think, when I came to, I noticed the time and it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. And
a couple rosaries later.
So I suppose it was 6 or 7 hours. And they said that they got it. They said that they got the cancer. They took half of my pancreas, the right. spleen, and then the mass, this other like thing that was growing too. And then that's when they told us after was that there was cancer in it. Mm-hmm.
Wow, unbelievable. What were your emotions? What was the feeling of that?
Mm-hmm. And I think disbelief at first, like just not really knowing. I'm not the poster child for pancreatic cancer. I think typically it happens, well, not in pregnant women, so I don't know. But it was different. I mean, it was a different experience. And then
I know we were already overwhelmed by the nature of the situation that had occurred to that point, with Michelle undergoing such a large surgery and the risk factors associated with that. So we didn't really begin to get our legs under us when we received that news, and it's not the kind of news that doctors want to hold on to. So we got that news rather quickly, and in the middle of Michelle's beginnings of her recovery. So she was still under considerable pain meds. She had terrific pain. She didn't get the opportunity to eat for about 8 or 9 days. And so we had concerns about Kiera, who was growing in the womb. We had significant concerns about Michelle and how all this was going to play out. And then we got that news, which we understand statistically it doesn't have a good outcome. So we were ready to follow recommendations that were given to us, but we just didn't know what that meant. And so we just needed a little time to digest that. We knew that we were going to have an immediate phase 2 of this, but first we were just trying to begin to understand what it all meant.
I imagine it takes quite a bit of faith, both of you. And I know that after talking with you briefly here today in the studio before the interview, it really just your faith is so palpable here. And I just want you to talk a little bit about your faith and some of the events maybe even leading up to that. Michelle, you mentioned an experience in adoration. Tell us a little about that.
Yeah, it was really crazy. This happened before we even knew we were pregnant with Kiera. I just had Cullen, and we were in adoration over at St. Mary's, and how like you go through the rosary and you're like praying through. And so I was getting through that, and then I was fixing to ask for my list of things. And right when I was about to do that, I heard the voice of God tell me, "I know what you need." So those 5 little words, and I was a little uncomfortable because I don't even know what I need. And I thought I had made a list of things that I thought I needed. And so I just thought, well, I didn't know. So then later we found out we were expecting, and I thought, oh, this is what God meant. And then we didn't know if we were going to miscarry or she was going to be fine. And then later I started getting what I thought to be kidney stones. And then after going through the ultrasounds, they found the mass. And then the pain was so great, I had to go in for surgery, which they explained during this, during the interview with the surgeon. Dr. Lin was wonderful, who was also Catholic, by the way. He was a little apprehensive to do it in the beginning, and only after the interview, because of the amount of pain, when it went ahead and did it. But they did tell me, they told us that there could be, I could go into labor, which terrified us. But at the time, the pain was so bad, I had to do, there was no, because I was on Percocet. During that time, and she was fine. She made it through, but she's been through a lot.
We were told that was the ideal time for such a surgery because the baby had grown enough to be able to sustain through the surgery, but not too large such that Michelle couldn't have the operation and they couldn't move around and do what they needed to do. So we were encouraged by that news.
Excellent, excellent. And so you also told us of a story off the air. I want to repeat it here on the air, is this whole Our Lady of Good Success thing. And so you're laying in the hospital and a friend comes in to visit you and they start talking about Our Lady of Good Success. So tell us about this.
She goes to St. Stanislaus with us, and I've tried to meet her before. And then while I was in the hospital, I actually didn't, that was when I met her, was in the hospital. Kathy Heckenkamp came in. And actually, Missy Noon came in with this picture from Kathy. And so it was Our Lady of Good Success, which I'd never heard of her before. Respectfully, I'd never heard of her before. But I had, because we go to St. Stanislaus, it's an amazing parish, my room looked like a garden. And then with Our Lady of Good Success on the table, it looked like an enormous altar to her. It was just gorgeous. And then I was so taken by this picture. It looked like she was looking at me. She was just like looking at me the whole time. So I asked Missy if she would invite Kathy. So Kathy Heckenkamp came in and she explained to me Our Lady of Good Success. And I think I told you before, Bill, like Tim is a really good Catholic. He was raised in the faith, amazing, 1 of 9 kids, huge Irish Catholic family. I went to Holy Rosary Academy not knowing how to pray the rosary. So not quite as versed as he is. He's like traditional mass, and I remember the first time I went to a traditional mass and I heard the line, or I didn't hear it. I was looking in the missal and it said, for you and for many. I was terrified by that one statement. Anyway, back to Kathy and the story of Our Lady of Good Success. When Kathy was telling me about Our Lady of Good Success, it is incredible. She appeared to a lady named Mother Mariana Jesus Torres. And when she appeared to her, she was telling her all these different things that were going to happen in the church. But this was like 1700s. So it was completely bizarre that anybody would ever say this, much less the Blessed Mother. But she was talking about there was like heresy, blasphemy, and impurities. And at this time, too, people were dressed from collar to floor. So there wasn't a whisper of that in the church at the time. So then on one of the visits, Our Lady asked to have a statue made. And one of my favorite parts was that Mariana was really concerned about doing this. And so the Blessed Mother wanted her little belt that goes around her, or the cord that goes around her. And as the Blessed Mother pulled it up, and I guess Jesus helped too, the cord extended to her height. And so that was sort of a neat thing. And when Mariana had the statue made, the artist went to go get paints to finish the face of her. And when he left, the nuns were actually praying that the Blessed Mother would have it created and done. And when they prayed, there were three archangels that appeared. It was Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. And St. Francis was in too. And you got to look into this, because when you see her now, sometimes they have to change her gowns that she wears because she's been around for a few hundred years now. The underneath of her clothes it's decayed completely, but her face is still perfect. But to take it even further, she came to life. Okay, so like I said, Tim, y'all, I'm sure a lot of your listening audience, they're very well-versed in Catholic stuff. They know about incorruptibles, and they know about stigmata and all this other stuff, bleeding Eucharist, I get that, but this is kind of wild. She came to life, and she looked at the church, she looked up at the choir, and she looked up at God. She stayed, like, in the state of being alive for a while. The newspaper, a secular newspaper, took the story and printed it, and this is all, ecclesiastic. What do you call it?
Ecclesiastically approved.
Ecclesiastically approved. See, he's the Catholic one. He's the really strong Catholic one. But yes, so it's an approved apparition. And then the thought is, well, why haven't I heard of her before? Because I know my mother-in-law, who knows everything about every kind of everything in the Catholic Church. She's amazing. She was not familiar with this. And the reason is that the nun who was in pain, and I'm sorry, I don't know the name of what you call that. People that are in
a victim soul.
A victim soul, thank you. Victim soul. She, Mariana, didn't want to be known. Mother Mariana didn't want to be known. And the Blessed Mother said, well, you're fine. You're not going to be known until the 20th century, until our time. And so she just talked about all kinds of things from Masons and all these really atrocious things that were going to be happening in the church, sort of as a warning. And so we weren't to know about her until now and about her great victory that will come. So, I think that's kind of in a nutshell, I think.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent stuff. And for our listeners, you're listening to the voice of Tim and Michelle Cassio. We are just having a great conversation about their faith and their journey through Michelle's pancreatic cancer diagnosis. And Our Lady of Good Success, walking right along with them, I want to give our listeners the website so they can find out more about that story Michelle just shared with us. It is www.ourladyofgoodsuccess.com. Check it out. It's a great thing you can do. Right now, on your smartphone during the break that we're going to take on WSFI Spotlight, but we'll be right back for more with Tim and Michelle, so stay tuned.
Hello, I am Bishop Don Hying from the Diocese of Gary, Indiana. Catholic radio has a remarkable reach into the minds and hearts of all sorts of people who may not be going to church, who may not have any other connection to learning about the faith. I know so many people have grown in the Catholic faith because they listen to Catholic radio.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community. We only can do that with your financial support. Take a moment now to donate online at wsfiradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. That's WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
Hi, this is Wes Riccio from the Holy Family Catholic Bookstore. If you have a child, grandchild, or godchild being baptized, receiving their first Holy Communion, or being confirmed, remember that Holy Family has the area's largest selection of gifts, accessories, and supplies to make their special day more memorable. For baptism, we have cradle medals, baby Bibles, wall crosses, and nightlights. We have beautiful baptismal gowns and accessories, as well as invitations and cards. If you have a First Holy Communion in your family, we have a wide variety of mass books and gift sets, rosaries and medals. We have exquisite veils for the girls and ties for the boys, along with all of the necessary party supplies. Our suggestions for new confirmants include personal-sized Bibles, prayer books, and other spiritual readings that can follow them through their lifetime. And don't forget the godparents and sponsors. We have gifts and cards for them as well. The Holy Family Catholic Bookstore is at 9249 Old Green Bay Road, Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. More information is available on Facebook.
WSFI is on social media. Follow us on Twitter at WSFIFM and like us on Facebook by searching for WSFI Catholic Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome back here to WSFI Spotlight. I'm your host, Bill Snyder, and on today's episode, my guests are Tim and Michelle Cassio. And Michelle was recently diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. We spent the first half of this program talking all about the diagnosis, Our Lady of Good Success, and it just their faith. It just has been incredible. So once again, thank you both for being here and joining me here on this episode.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So I want to talk a little bit about the family support you receive. We kind of left off with the Our Lady of Good Success story, but it spawned itself into a lot of family support and even a GoFundMe site. So why don't we talk a little about that?
What we noticed was that when Michelle went in for the surgery, we really didn't have our ducks in a row in terms of home care or just really knowing what to expect or how to plan for it. And so we kind of found ourselves scrambling on the home front, me doing my best to get to work and be productive in that respect, while at the same time supporting Michelle at the hospital and maintaining what's going on at the house with the four kids. And so what was really unexpected but very welcome was the tremendous outpouring from family, friends, neighbors across the street, beside us, and so forth, that would offer to come over and spend half days or full days or spend the night or bring warm meals, bring grocery bags, offer their prayers, let us know that they've reached out to other people across their network for prayers. And it was really heartfelt to me how much of that was going on and the extent to which it was happening. So we felt from the get-go that we were supported in ways that were just above and beyond, you know, anybody's expectations. And so we're just really grateful for all of that has occurred. And I think too, through that, we've seen a lot of unexpected blessings that have come from that. People around us have been talking more about the faith, it seems, and those conversations are just more natural. Maybe it's because of the serious nature of Michelle's diagnosis. I'm not quite sure, but I know we've welcomed those conversations as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then as far as the support too, I know we go to St. Stanislaus, which we've talked about a bunch. They did a meal train, and I did want to mention too that when Tim was saying he didn't have the ducks in the row, it's because it wasn't supposed to be cancer. So It wasn't like a lack of. My husband is an Uber planner; like he really got tons of lists going all the time. So that wasn't the case at all. It's just that we had our experience was unexpected completely. And that's why that happened.
I think what was a good thing for me to experience was not only how much people reached out to help, but they were just happy to do it, and they would say so. They didn't appear to be inconvenienced in any way, and they said that they were pleased to do it. Anything more that we can do, and when you receive that kind of help with that kind of graciousness, it really means so much, because you feel like you're inconveniencing everybody, and when they respond in such a kind way, it to me is those people living their faith completely. And I'm not talking about just Catholics. I mean, this is really across the board. The response was just tremendous.
That is amazing, and I can't imagine, and most of our listeners can't even imagine walking in your shoes in this entire process. And I'm sure there's been struggle in this process. Do you want to talk a little bit about that struggle and also the hope that is there through prayer and through Our Lady of Good Success and the prayers being offered for you by lots and lots of people?
The GoFundMe thing, Cam Gleason, Tim's sister, had actually started that site. And when she did, when she approached Tim and Tim talked to me about it, we were really kind of leery, I guess, about it. But then we thought, well, it would be a good way to get Our Lady of Good Success kind of out. Not really expecting that there would be a financial, I mean, seriously, like not what's happened. It's completely exploded. But we thought, well, it'll be a good way to get her message out, because it's such a strong, powerful message. That's been something that Cam did. And what was really great is that Cam Gleason, his sister, had just been to keto in January. And wow. So, yeah, I know. Seriously, like, the Blessed Mother has put a big, fat, beautiful bow on just about every single thing. And when Tim's talking about people are doing things, it's really uncomfortable. Like, I don't know. I've never heard this before, because we've never been on the receiving end of things like this. But it's kind of hard to be a recipient of something. And then I remember when my aunt was going through cancer last year, I remember talking to her, and I remember hearing something about how Christ had somebody help him carry his cross. And that thought occurred to me, And, you know, what a beautifully humbling thing for him to do himself, like for him to give that to us, because he knew we were going to be going through situations like this. And it's just a really neat thing. And as far as like, it's like, I don't mean to smile at you when you say things like struggle and stuff like this, but because of the experience of being in adoration, and whenever something kind of gets a little testy and there's concern, because there is, we got a family, I love my family. But like every time there's a testy moment, I always think back about what God said. And then I don't think we told you this, but right before the actual surgery, which was only supposed to be a couple hours long, we were doing I had to get serious. So we did the Our Father and the Hail Mary. And when I did the Hail, we also did an act of contrition. So we did that one. And then right when I did the Hail Mary, the Blessed Mother said two words, I'm here. And so that was neat. So in seven words total, I know what you need, God, and I'm here, Blessed Mother, like we're covered. So what I find amazing is my husband right here, he's like such a rock. He's so solid. And we don't talk like what I would have imagined. Like him, he's always like this. But I'm a nut job. And so like it's just really crazy that I can be like, you know, like excited about, I know it's, and I'm not taking away the severity of the situation, because I'm sure there's a lot of listeners who are dealing with cancer and all this stuff. But I really appreciate being a part of this, because I see God and the Blessed Mother working so beautifully throughout this, and the people who are listening, and the people who are, we've been getting books and cards and all these different alternative things, natural through prayer. We found someone. We're using the Connors Clinic in Minnesota, and it was through prayer and through these natural things. When they found out, oh yeah, she's not going to do these other things because we don't want to jeopardize the baby. We're not going to do radiation while I'm pregnant. We're not going to give birth early. We're not doing those things because she's been through enough. It's because of people and prayers, and we're getting prayers from literally around the world, Australia and Brazil,
from convents. Masses are being said and novenas of masses, and I feel most guilty by not being able to keep up with the amount and the individuals of people who have responded. I'm doing a very poor job of that. As soon as we get our legs under us a little bit more, so that's first on my list. One thing I wanted to share about our faith as a married couple is, I think as long as I can remember, I've always been very cautious about sharing my faith. I want to be very careful. I'm kind of an analyst at heart. And so I want to make sure I don't push anybody away or represent God in an not so much inaccurate way, but in an unattractive way. And I think what helps to make our marriage work so well is that Michelle, from the get-go, has always been excited to share her faith. She considers it like a jewel worth sharing. And me, I'm always cautious. So I think there's that balance there. And I've noticed the differences between us carry itself out from the hospital room where she was recovering from surgery, and all the people that she was talking to, regardless of their background and their faiths, she was preaching it, as they speak, right? She was really sharing the faith in a very lively way and telling stories that really captivated people, and I think they needed to get back to work oftentimes, but they didn't share that part because they really wanted to hear what she had to say. And so I like that energy in her. She's got a stronger dose of that than I do, but through that I become even more courageous in my faith because I see how she lives it, and people respond very well to that. And she's done a great job of making her faith attractive to other people. And so I love going along for the ride when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Well, I want to thank you on behalf of many people, I'm sure, listening right now, for being such a witness to the strength and the sacrament of holy matrimony. It truly is incredibly amazing, just sitting across the way here, interviewing you, seeing the strength of your marriage being shared with millions of listeners right now, millions of potential listeners right now. And I also want to ask you a little bit about, you know, as you've been going through this struggle, as you've been going through this, your faith has just played an amazing part, and it's been so evident that you're wearing it on your sleeves. And so what I want to ask is, there's some people right now, I mean, God is making divine appointments with people in their cars driving around the listening area. And tell me, if you can give some advice to somebody struggling with something right now in their faith, what would that be? I mean, obviously, they don't have the magnitude. Most of them don't have the magnitude of these struggles, but they have something. Maybe provide some encouragement to listeners that are just struggling in faith.
Firstly, we don't purport to be saints. We're far from it. We sin every day. And we struggle in our faith, and we struggle in sharing our faith. And
he's really talking about me. He's not talking about him.
That's not
he
true.
Was raised. He was totally. His mama raised him right. He did a really good job.
So I should know better, right?
Yeah,
but
no,
I don't.
No, it's me. I'm the one who is. I'm called a revert. I think is what they call that. When you were saying about these things, the little yeses. I think that was like the we keep hearing this in the Catholic Church. Just these little yeses, and they're not very easy. I remember when we were talking about me being a stay-at-home mom. That was really tough. That was a really hard decision. And then,
that was
goodness.
Not just one conversation.
Oh, no.
It takes place over the course of a year or two prior to even that becoming a possibility.
Yeah.
But Michelle never perceived herself as being a homeschooling mom. I never enforced it, recommended it. I wanted to come to those conclusions together. And it was neat to see the evolution of her thinking over time. And as the confidence that she began to have toward that, it led to where she's at now, which is a very accomplished homeschooling parent, and one whose children are pacing well beyond what they would be otherwise. And so that's, and I see the benefits of all those things. So back to the little yeses.
It's just been, it's those little things. And I think one of the toughest parts is when you get these moments, and then it's that faith part where you say, okay, yes, like yes to this one little thing, and you're freaking out, and then God, not only does He take this, but He takes care of you further than, I mean, this has happened so much. It's the stay-at-home mom. It's the homeschooling. It's our house. We God has a sense of humor, and so does His Saint Joseph has a sense of humor too. We moved 3 times in 1 year, and I was pregnant. and then I even prayed against the house because I was like, it was just a lot. But you know, now I see our family has grown into it, and it's our family's getting bigger, and so it's all these things. It's these little yeses, and it's funny because looking back on those things, we're so grateful. We're so grateful that we did those things that were asked of us, and even with this, like, okay, we get it. I think that's the other thing too, is that people think maybe I'm in denial. I'm not in denial. I know what my mortality rate is. I know what my 5-year, 2.1%. I get it. I get those things, but I don't think either one of us could have expected this event to have happened. And you always think, I can't imagine how those people do whatever, because we go to church with some people who've had a lot of big trials, and then here we have this one, but it's been amazing. It's been amazing to watch the Holy Spirit and God and the Blessed Mother and Our Lady of Good Success, all of this work. We're here because of this. It's incredible.
Yeah, and just walking into your studio, we've known a gentleman or knew of a gentleman who was right here in our midst, and you know, we go back a long ways through a mutual friend, and so there are all these,
Father,
I guess you
Rick,
could call them coincidences or can't be explained even by a coincidence. There's a lot of those things that have been going on a daily basis, and we'd like to think it's because of those little yeses. You know, we could just keep, it may be a struggle at that moment in time, but we say yes, and we're not sure what that might mean for us, but we remain hopeful, and then God kind of shows us His hand more so, and then as He does, we realize, wow, I'm glad we did that. Now we see more clearly, even though we never seem to see the full picture, we see more clearly why something was a good move. Even if it takes a full year or two to kind of close the loop on certain decisions that were made earlier.
Sure. Well, Tim and Michelle, I want to thank you so much for joining me and all of our listeners for this episode of WSFI Spotlight. It's unbelievably how fast time flies when we have an amazing conversation like this one led by the Holy Spirit. So thank you so much for being here. And I want just to mention to our listeners, or maybe you can mention to our listeners, just about the GoFundMe site and how to get on it and find it.
Thank you, Bill, for having us. That was really sweet for you to have us here.
This is so beautiful.
Absolutely. And I should mention one more coincidence in closing. We learned that the priest who married us, Father Riccetta, is the same priest, and we didn't know this until today, same priest who blessed your antenna for your broadcast. And so that's just a little something that we learned today, and these kind of things just keep happening over and over and over. So anyways, back to GoFundMe.com, I guess, and then just type in CASCIO as the search, and it should be pretty quick and easy to find us there.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again for joining me and all of our listeners here on this episode of WSFI Spotlight. Tim and Michelle, it's been a pleasure. And until next time, from all of us here at WSFI Catholic Radio, I'm your host, Bill Snyder. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
This has been WSFI Spotlight. For more information on this or any other program, email info@wsfiradio.org.